Tonight is two-part, so we're going to deal with this tonight in the same topic. We're going to deal with it next week. We're going to talk about the inspiration part this week. We'll talk about the application part next week. But we are in this series called How to Start a Fight. And the whole thing is that when we are in a battle, there's a way that God tells us that victory can be found. And so just to recap over the last couple of weeks, we said, first off, that you are both flesh and spirit, that they are connected, that what happens physically is reflected spiritually, and what happens in the spiritual realm is reflected physically. They are connected, and there is a battle. And so the first thing that we need to do is recognize that there is a battle, that there is a fight for your soul, and that we are at war with the deceiver. So a battle may not even look like a battle, but we said the clarifying statement is this, that anything that stands in the way of an opportunity to draw closer to God, anything that stands in the way of an opportunity to grow closer to God. Recognize that. That is the potential for a battle. It's a fight. And it may look like a very good thing. Oh, well, no, it's a blessing. Now, hang on. Does it have the opportunity to keep you from growing closer to God? Recognize it for what it is. It's a battle, because we said this, that it has the potential and the possibility to... Anybody remember what we said? Does this have the opportunity to send me and my family to hell for eternity? And we said, those are strong words. Those are horribly strong words, but we need to understand it for what it is. Because that second thing is we need to recognize what's at stake. It's not our stuff, it's our soul. It's not our inconvenience, it's eternity. And so every time that we are recognized that there is a fight for us, that if this has the potential to keep me from growing closer to God, if I am not growing, if it is taking me away, recognize that this has the potential to destroy me, just destroy my family. Because there needs to be an urgency. There needs to be a panic. There needs to be this sense of this is important. This is life and death. This is greater than life and death. Because if we don't have energy going into it, then there is apathy when it comes to being obedient to what God wants us to do. If we say, well, it's not that big of a deal, and God says, hey, this is the way I want you to live, we go, I can argue. We testing. Okay, there we go. I think I just popped the lid off. But if we say, hey, this is super important, this is life and death, this scares me, this is the potential to wipe me out, then when God says, hey, I want you to live this way, we're like, hey, no question. I mean, I'm in. I understand it. So recognize what's at stake. And then number three, we talked about a couple of weeks ago, remove the noise. We need to follow what God says. Get back to a place where we are listening for God's lead. And so the example that we talked about was fasting and how we take from the physical to be able to better hear and to respond to the spiritual. But it isn't just missing food. It's in the exchange. It's not just going hungry. That doesn't make you more spiritual, right? You can fast for all kinds of things, on the wrestling team, but that doesn't make you spiritual. But it's what we exchange it for. And say we're skipping food, but I'm replacing it with this. And so we're changing and removing the noise. So it might be food. We talked about changing our habits, unplugging, changing our behaviors. And again, getting back, the underlying is this, is realigning ourselves with the way that God asks us to live. Back to obedience. And then we talked about last week is give the battle to God. Recognize that it's God's fight, not yours. It's not your battle. It's his. And here's the thing. These are important, and the order is important. We talked a little bit about that last week. If I just say, oh, I'm just going to give the battle to God, and I am not panicked about what this is, okay, I'm missing it. I'm missing it because then I said, you know what? What God's doing isn't that big of a deal. That obedience to God isn't that big of a deal. Or if I get to the place where I'm not listening to God, or I'm not obeying God, or I'm just trying to carry it on my own. We need to do these, and we need to do these in order. Okay, so we are continuing, and we are looking into this story of Jehoshaphat. We've been tracking through this, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Jehoshaphat has been terrified. He realizes that an enemy is coming to kill him, to wipe him out, to wipe out his family, to destroy everything that he has. He is freaked out. He goes to God. There's a time of fasting. They change their behaviors. They step away from their homes. They get together at the church. And so they're listening to God. They're being obedient to God. They're aligning their lives with God. And then the prophetic message of This is not your battle. It's God's. It's not your fight. It's God's. And so they're going through the steps. And here is what happens. And this is all of that has taken place. And now we're seeing the response to their actions. Verse 18, Jehoshaphat bowed down with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down in, what's the word? Worship before the Lord. And it goes on, this next verse. Then some Levites from the Kohathites and the Korahites stood up, so they were down on their face. They stood up, and what's the word? Praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. Now, this is important because we see two important things happening here. They have gone through these steps. They've recognized there's a battle. They recognize what's at stake. They're removing the noise. They're back to obedience. They recognize the battle is not theirs, but God. And so when that happens, and when we do it the way that God leads us to do us, worship is a natural response. Notice that it wasn't commanded. Jehoshaphat didn't get up and say, all right, let's worship God now. Everybody on their face. When they recognize this, that we were terrified, but yet God is going to fight for us. We didn't know what to do, and we're listening for God. We're changing our habits back to obedience, and God is fighting this. This worship is a natural response. You cannot be prodded to authentically worship. Can I just say that the church, and I'll use the word church in a very general way, has done a horrible, horrible job at talking and presenting what worship is. We've made worship something that is a song with certain types of words, or it's a time within a service. It's something that somebody tries to get you to do in a manner that they want you to do it in. Worship is a natural response in our life when we are following God's way and God's plan in our life. Anything else is just, we're going through the motions. And I would say this, is that if there is a struggle to worship in your life, if that worship isn't a natural response, then you need to look back at some of the steps that we talked about, and maybe there's something missing. Maybe you don't realize the fight that you're in. Maybe you haven't given that battle over to God and recognize how great God is. Or maybe you're downplaying one of the other areas and you're missing it. And so as a result, that worship isn't a natural response. When we do this right, they just responded in worship. We respond in worship. The other thing that's important in this passage is that there was a balance in their worship. And I love this. What did they do? They started off on their face praising God. There are times when you need to shut your mouth and just worship God. And there, in that same group, after a little while, it says they stood up, and what they do? They worship God in a very loud voice. Worship is unique, but yet worship is balanced. You don't worship like I worship. I don't worship like you worship. I cannot define the type of worship in the moment. I have a hard time with people that try to define. It's like, everybody needs to jump. It's like, what if I don't feel like jumping? What if I feel like worshiping God just with my face on the ground? Well, then you're not worshiping. I have a hard time with people that define worship with the amount of volume that you do. Okay, but I also have a hard time with people that says, well, you know, I just worship my little way. You know, I'm a quiet worshiper. Don't bother me. It may sound like I'm snoring over here in the corner, but I'm actually worshiping. I have a hard time with them as well, because you know what? Worship needs to be balanced. Because you know what? You're balanced. Sometimes you're quiet. Sometimes you're loud. So God made you. Sometimes you're very calm. Sometimes you're very excited. It should be a reflection of who you are. Okay? There are times when you just need to, you just don't even want to move in the presence of God, and you can't even say a word, but your soul is just worshiping and being thankful to God, and maybe you're just weeping and crying, and you are worshiping, and you are not moving a muscle. Other times, you could jump from the floor to the balcony, and you're just like, you can't stop me. I'm celebrating what God is doing. There should be a balance in your worship. Turn to somebody, tell them, is your worship balanced? Yeah, is your worship balanced? Okay. So here's what's going on. Now, if you can just imagine this, that here Jehoshaphat was saying, somebody is coming to kill me. Somebody is coming to kill my children. Somebody is coming to destroy everything that I have and own. It's a certainty. It's going to happen. They're going to torture me. They're going to torture my children. It's going to be horrible. It's going to be painful. It's going to be the worst thing ever. And I am freaked out about it. I am terrified about it because when I look at my own strength, we don't have the army. We don't have the fighting skills. They are going to overrun us and destroy us. Our life is over. There's a terror. There's a panic. There's an urgency there. And so what do? They come together. They say, God, we are desperate for you. God, we are desperate for you. We are skipping food and we are exchanging it to worship. We are skipping food and we are exchanging it to seek after your way. We're coming out of our habits. We're breaking away from our homes and routines to come to you. God, what does your word say? We are here. We are obeying. We are following your word because we are scared to death and we need. And God shows up and says, hey, I'm going to do a great thing. I am the Lord. I am bigger. I am badder than any of your problems. It's not your problem. It's my problem. I am taking care of this. And there is something in them that just says, oh, I can't help but worship. Looking at their kids and saying, my kids are going to live. Have you ever had God answer a horrible situation or a crisis in your life? I mean, you didn't know how it was going to happen, and you got a phone call, and you're like, oh, my goodness. Or something happened in your life, and you didn't see how it was going to happen, and God opened the door, and God just made himself so clear, and you're like, I thought it was over with. I was scared to death. I was so worried, and God showed up, and he did this. What was the reaction? Could they shut you up? There was something in you. He's like, you don't have to tell me to worship. Nobody has to prompt me. Come on, folks, let's worship together. He's like, you can't shut me up. You may have fallen on your face. You may have wept. You may have cried. You may have done a backflip in the backyard. I don't care. But it was natural, wasn't it? It was something that says, this is emotional. This is powerful. Okay? And this is what is happening here. They are worshiping. They are saying, my family's going to live. There's hope. We're going to survive this. God is on our side. And it didn't stop there. It continued. And look at what happens. It goes on. It says, listen to me, Judah, and the people of Jerusalem. He's talking to the people. Have faith in the Lord. He's re-saying what they just heard the day before. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful. Meaning that the word from God is true. Have faith. God's on your side. Believe what was told you. Believe what was ministered to you. Goes on. And here's what he tells them. After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him from the splendor of his holiness. Meaning, we are going to praise God, not for what he's done, but for who he is. Man, God is great. We're going to praise him for who he is. Oh, man, we'll sing about the greatness of God. Let's sing about how awesome God is. And I love this next part. Next verse. And they went out at where? At the head of the army, saying, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. That the worshipers went out first before the army. Before the action. And so here we go. We're in the next step. Here's the next step. So powerful. Step 5. Worship going in like you're coming out. Worship going in like you're coming out. Verse 22 says this. And they began to sing and praise. Let me just ask you, where were they going? They weren't going to church. They weren't going home. They were marching to the very enemy that terrified them just a few hours earlier. We are marching to the problem. We are marching to what we were so afraid of. We are marching to what could very well destroy us. The very thing that we feared. We are marching, singing, and praising. They began to sing and praise, and the Lord sent ambushments against the men of Amnon and Moab and Mount Seir who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. that God gave the victory. Now, let me ask a question. When did God respond? Did God respond when they recognized the problem? Did God respond when they recognized the importance and what was at stake? Did God respond when they began to humble themselves and fast and leave their homes and break from the tradition? Did God act when they returned the battle over to God? When did God act? When they began to worship and praise and move toward their fight. In obedience to God, recognizing that the battle was God's, and worship and praised moving in. Now, this isn't just an isolated thing. We see this all the way through scriptures. I mean, there's the conversation between two guys where one guy says the other, says, "Hey, Silas, we've got a fight on our hands. We're in the middle of a fight." And Paul would say, "You're right. In fact, they're probably going to kill us tomorrow morning. Does that scare you?" "It terrifies me. And if I didn't hurt so bad from being beaten up, I would probably be terrified even more. And I really want to rest right now because we've been beaten." We don't understand that as people. I mean, they were just tortured horribly. Horribly. More than any of us here can even fathom. And yet, there they were in a time when it would be so easy to just say, "I just want to rest. I just want to sleep. Give me a break, okay? I'm in the middle of this." And what do? They recognize the situation. There's a fight. There's a battle going on. Scared to death. Don't know what's happening in the morning. But I'm going to trade what I have in this life for something else and recognize that it's not our fight, but it's God's fight. And so look at this passage, and I love this passage because it summarizes exactly what we're talking about. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, "God, here we are, we could be sleeping, but we recognize that you're in this, and we don't know how you're going to do it, but, oh, God, we're terrified, we don't know. They're probably going to kill us in the morning, going to take us out. But, God, we know that it's not our fight, but your fight. We know that you're Lord over all of it, and you're bigger than them, and you're greater than them, and it looks like an impossibility when I look at it from one angle, but man, when I look at it that you are my God, I have nothing to fear. I have nothing to be afraid of. I have nothing to be worried about." Now, this is so important because if you study this, you'll see that at midnight, that quite a bit of time has passed since all of their pain and suffering, and this is a time when they should be sleeping. This is a time when they should be out, that they are tired, that they are worn out, that their bodies are worn out, but they have discovered something, and they have been going through the same process, going into the same fight that we've been learning about in the same way that God's word is. And what's the result? That at midnight, in the middle of the night, they sang praises. "You can't keep me from not worshiping. I understand what's going on. We recognize that it's not our fight. God is working in this. Yeah, I was scared, but man, I recognize it. So I've exchanged what I have for something in the physical, for something in the spiritual, and it's resulting in worship and praise." And what happens? And the prisoners heard them. And they didn't say, "Sing on, Paul. Who's singing those sultry tones?" No. "We're trying to get to sleep. Shut up. I'm going to kill you in the morning if they don't." But what happened? Here they're worshiping and praising. Look at this next verse. "And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loose." When did God act? When they began to worship. When they began to worship. But understand this. Every time we see this, when are they worshiping? It's not after God has done it. They are worshiping before God has acted. That the praise and worship is so powerful when there is no evidence yet of God working. Could it be that in our life we are missing the power of God because we are waiting to worship until after God does the work? That it's always a prayer request until God answers, then it's a testimony. See, that's unscriptural. That's not what God, that's not how God works. Here's what he says. He didn't tell him how he was going to do it. He didn't tell him he was going to win the battle. It's when we don't need to know how. We're saying, well, God, when you show me the way, when you answer it, when you open all the doors, then I'll celebrate. Anybody can celebrate when that happens. Anybody can celebrate after it's done. But worship is most powerful before the victory. Worship is not celebrating what God has done. Worship is celebrating who God is. That I thank you, God, that you are a provider, even though you haven't provided for me yet. I thank you, God, that you are a healer, even though I am still sick in my body. I am worshiping and I am thanking God and worshiping ahead of time. You need to understand this, that true worship is an act of faith. Worship isn't the words to a song. Worship isn't just classifying a time in a service. To understand what true worship is, it needs to be tied back to something that's terrified us. In fact, I would argue that if your worship isn't tied to something that's terrified you, you're not really worshiping. Well, I thank the Lord that he saved my soul. Oh, thank you, Lord. You've forgotten what hell is truly like. And how great heaven truly will be. Because if we truly understood it and we're saying, he saved me. He took me from that. He is saving my soul from that. And even though I'm still here, I can worship him for that. And I thank you, God. You can't shut me up because I understand what he's done in my life. What do you mean you got to prod me to worship? Do you realize what God has done in my life? I was scared to death. I am terrified of that. But God is God of that, and he is greater, and he is for me. He's fighting for me. See, we lose our anchor to what worship is tied to. And therefore, it becomes this, blah, 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 blah. Come on, folks, we need to worship. Come on, let's sing about God being a healer. Well, I'm so glad that the Lord healed me. Do you remember when God healed you? Do you remember when God saved you? Remember when God forgave you? Remember when God did the impossible in your life? We've forgotten. We've forgotten. And therefore, our worship is a reflection of it. Or how often we are at a place where we're saying, oh, you know, I'm really dealing with this. I'm really dealing with this. We need to change it. Our testimonies need to be before God answers. That's the scriptural way to do it. I'd like to thank God that he hasn't yet healed me. Glory to his name. He's a healer and he's powerful and I'm thanking him for it. So that's crazy. Yeah, but you know what? What I see again and again in scripture is that is what releases God's power. Because you know what it says? It says, God, my faith is in you. And God inhabits, understand this, the praises of his people. You need to understand what it's talking about. It's not talking about, well, I'm just going to celebrate what you've done. God inhabits the praises of his people. Meaning, you know what? I'm praising you for who you are before you've done it. Because it's a faith thing. It's a trust thing. It's you're my Lord, my Savior, my God. I am all in thing. And God says, there is one that gets it because it's about faith. It's about trusting God. It's not about what God can do to just answer and check the things off your list. He's saying, I want to build your faith. I want you to trust me. I want you to be able to be one that I can use and guide, that I don't have to prove myself before you obey me. And you can trust me that obedience precedes the action in my life, that the worship precedes the answer in my life. He says, that's the kind of praise I inhabit. That's the kind of praise that I'm involved in. And this is what they're doing, saying, we are marching in the battle to an enemy that can just wipe us off the map. And God hasn't changed a thing yet. They still look as strong and as ugly and as powerful as they ever have. But see, we're sitting there and we are worshiping and we are praising and we are celebrating. Man, what would it have been like to have been picked by Jehoshaphat and says, hey, you know what? I want you to go first. want you to go first. We don't hear of any dissension, any murmuring, any complaining. What we hear is worshiping and praising. They were into it. You know what I've been doing? And I think maybe some of them is like, nah, 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 nah. You are going to be wiped out. You are ugly, but you're going to get uglier because you're going to be a stain on the desert floor because my God is bigger than you. You think you've got us. You ain't got nothing. You can worship that way. Devil, you think you're all big and strong. You are nothing. You lose. Situation, you think you've controlled me. You are nothing compared to my God. He is in control. He has got this whole thing. In fact, he is doing great things out of this problem. You think you've overwhelmed me. Door that just slammed in my face. You think it's story over. Oh, my Lord answered every door. He's got every key. You can't stop me. You can't keep me calm. What if we went into our problems that way? You know what would happen? God would just simply do what God has always promised that he'd do. He would show up. And God doesn't tell him how he's going to win. God doesn't give him the game plan. Here's the game plan. I want you to go here and I'm going to do this and this and this. He says, just trust me. You may be facing something. You may be going, that God has an answer that may just be totally different than what you could imagine. But there's a trust saying, okay, God. And you get on the other side of it and you say, I did not see that. I did not see that coming. But God did. And look at how he worked that out. Look at how he brought that to light. I thought that was going to overwhelm me. And look at that. I am stronger. My faith has grown. God answered. God provided. God protected. Glory to his name. And our praise after the fact should be equal to our praise before the fact. Because between before and after, God hasn't changed. God isn't any greater after he answered your prayer. God isn't any greater after he answered and solved your problem. He's just as great. And when we worship him for who he is, not what he's done, we understand the true power of what worship really is. But to understand what worship is, we've got to go through the steps. I'm closing with this. We can put up that next list here. We got to recognize that there's a fight, recognize there's a battle, there's an enemy coming against you. There's something going to try to take you out. There's a fight, there's things going on, and it can look good, it can look bad. We need to recognize it for what it is. Recognize what's at stake. We need to be afraid. We need to have some fear involved. We need to recognize this has the potential to destroy me. This has the potential to destroy my family, to destroy my future. This is eternity. It's bigger than me. I don't have the resources. That I get back and I begin to live my life according to God's will, God's plan. I'm not arguing with them. I'm not trying to play let's make a deal because I've got this step right. I recognize that it's bigger and better. And when God says to do it, I'm doing it. When I recognize what's at stake, and God says, I want you to live this way, I'm living this way. There's no argument. Because I'm scared of what's going to happen. I'm terrified of what could happen. I've recognized it. And so I've got energy behind my obedience. And I'm doing what God says. And I'm following him. And I'm listening to him. And I'm recognizing that when I do that, that I relinquish my strength into his hand. And I put the problem into God's hands. When I'm living God's way, then God is responsible for the outcome. When I'm living my life according to God's principles and God's words, then God becomes responsible for my life. And I recognize the battle is not mine, it's God's. And when I recognize that, it's bigger than me, but I'm doing it God's way, and God says, I'm taking care of this. And I look back and I say, God has never lost. God's never been defeated. Okay, God, I can celebrate now. I can celebrate marching in, and I will lead the fighting force, that my worship will precede God's power in my life. That's the safest place to be. And it looks crazy. You're marching into the battle first? Yeah. Yeah. But what you find is you read the story, they didn't lose a single guy. In fact, none of them even fought. They got there and the battle was over. God says, it's not your fight. Just go worshiping. Go worshiping. God wants to do something in your life. Stop waiting to worship. Stop waiting to celebrate. Stop waiting. And if there's a hesitancy, go back and say, okay, what have I missed? What have I missed? Somewhere along the way, recognize that true worship is an act of faith. It's an act of faith. I love God's word. I love the power of God's word. Again, we talked about this being a two-part lesson. Next Wednesday, we're going to talk about the application. How do we do this? How do we put all of this into play? What's this look like in real life scenarios? What's this look like in all kinds of circumstances? We're going to go through it. We're going to say, hey, if I'm struggling with this in my life, then what do I need to look at? And so next week, we're really going to focus on application. But this week, I really wanted inspiration. Inspiration, just worshiping God. Worshiping God. Let's stand.